Hey everybody, I want to welcome you to Bible News Radio. I am Stacy Lynn. Glad you're here. Hey, I know it's been a couple of days since we've updated the show. I hope you got to watch and listen to the behind the scenes content inside our new Heart Tug International mobile app. Those of you who are in the app, don't forget there are special groups inside there you can interact. We have a Bible reading accountability group, a news and views group, and a couple other groups you can join. Make sure you go over to our Apple or Android store, Google Play, and download the Heart Tug International app. You will get brand new content almost every single day. We put in there a new Heart Tug moment, which is just me, yours truly, trying to encourage you every single day for a few minutes. And then, of course, we're doing our Bible News Radio show. I do have some special interviews coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be interviewing somebody about the late Antonin Scalia. You'll want to hear that episode, I guarantee you. But if you haven't seen or watched the content we have in our behind the scenes part in the mobile app, make sure you download it. You can see a couple of those and participate inside the community. So I just want to start out today's show by telling you something.
You already did.
I know. Well, I have a special handsome hunky husband with me today, as always. Bareface is here. Those of you who know me know that Randall Pandel Bareface is my handsome hunky husband.
Yep. So you were going to tell them something else.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, but do you enjoy surgery? No. So a couple of days ago, I had my tongue worked on. I've had this stupid bump on my tongue for like a decade.
A fibroma.
Is that what it's called?
It was.
It was, yeah. And I had all these, fears of going to this doctor. I saw him. We went in and actually got the, consult. And he said, oh, yeah, it'll be no big deal. We'll just numb you and take it off. And you'll be out of here in about 10, 15 minutes. I was like, I don't really want to do this because it's scary to me to have somebody cut off part of your tongue. I mean, needless to say, it's bad enough going to the dentist, right? I mean, unless you're insane, there's really nobody that I know except one person in my life who actually enjoys going to the dentist. Anyway, this was the oral surgeon. So I went in on Thursday. And Randall was, they wouldn't let him come in the operating room where they did this. They put me in the chair and the doctor's like, you ready? All we're going to do, we're going to numb your tongue. And I'm like, okay. So they swab it, and then they numb it before they numb it. You know how they do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Now, years
ago, topical anesthetic and then an injection.
Right. And years ago, I had glass in my foot. And they didn't numb my foot before they decided to shove the needle in my foot. And that was in an actual ER place, I'm like, you would think that they would.
Urgent care.
It was, facility. Yeah. Well, anyway, so they numbed my tongue. And then within 5 minutes, my tongue was pretty numb. And then they put another shot in my tongue and they numbed it. Now, and they're like, oh, just relax. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, this guy's about ready to cut my tongue. And they're telling me to relax. Like, how do you relax?
Did you have to hold your tongue out?
I did.
In your own strength?
I pretty much did, yeah.
They didn't have any kind of holder for it? Any kind of clamps? Or...
Nope. Actually, they just told me to hold still. And
did you bite your tongue?
I know, but what the worst part was I was trying not to swallow.
Yeah.
Because I was so anxious.
It's hard to do that with your tongue outside of your mouth. I don't know. I can't swallow with my tongue hanging over my lower lip.
So here's the thing, right?
Not easily.
So the doctor, his name's Brad. So he's like, do you have any questions? I looked at him. I said, yeah. Are you a firstborn? He's like, yes. How did you know? I said, because you're a doctor. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I'm like, dude. Not today. Today, you need to be perfect. So anyway, it was so funny. So then there was this little, assistant in there. And anyway, I know you're all excited to hear this, right? But there is a point to this. So the assistant was on the right, Brad was on the left, and they're like, okay, we're going to do this. You're all numb. And I'm like, okay. And the first thing I hear is snip. I mean, literally felt like, heard like scissors snapping. And all of a sudden, there was like, I knew that he had just cut my tongue. I couldn't feel it though. Mm. Could not feel it. And then he says to me, oh, I noticed there's a spot here on the back of your tongue too. You want me to get that too? It's no extra charge. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Just go ahead.
And you verbalize that? Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
You said that?
Just go ahead.
Even though the
well, I did that before.
Okay.
But still.
Okay, I thought maybe while he was doing it, got the first one on, somehow you were able to say.
Right. So then he looks to the lady and he's like, do you think we need to suture both of these? And she's like, yes, we need to. Well, just then, you know how when you bite your tongue, you can feel blood?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened. I felt the blood. Hmm. I was like, yeah, my tongue's, you know, because in my mind I even went to therapy. I was telling my therapist, she's like, okay, what's your fears? And I'm like, that they're going to cut my tongue and it's going to bleed forever. My therapist, she's like, well, and this is inside my head. I'm so sorry, people, that you listen to me, because this is truly what went on in my mind was, I'm going to bleed to death. If he cuts my tongue, I'm going to die, you know, which is completely irrational. And all of you out there, you can laugh if you want. Seriously. Long story short, because clearly it's almost 7 minutes. Long story short, my therapist tells me, don't worry. If they cut your tongue and it bleeds, they'll do something to stop the bleeding. You know, you won't bleed to death. I've never heard of anybody dying of, you know, bleeding to death because of their
a tongue injury.
Well, but here's the funny thing, though, is that, look, I'm just being honest about my fear, right? So I'm laying there. So then this tech woman, she's like, she hands me, she goes, would you like a stress ball? And I'm like, yes, please. And so she hands me a little basketball round. Mm. It looks like a basketball, you know, squeezy stress ball. So this guy is suturing my tongue. And I'm not kidding you when I say this. He literally probably had 3 feet of string that he was pulling through my tongue. He was just like, it was coming up. And I had my eyes shut for most of this procedure because, you know, they're literally looking right over.
Yeah.
They're looking right there in my face. And this guy's got his big, you know, magnifying light things on there, and I'm like, okay, the only way I'm gonna get through this is if I don't look, because otherwise I'm gonna see blood. I'm gonna see the blood coming up through the string that they're pulling through my tongue, and all that. But anyway, so they got done and they're like, you did great and blah blah blah. I'm like, that was it? And they're like, yeah. And they're and I'm like, what should I expect? Oh, they said, oh, don't worry, it'll just be a little bit of pain later. And I'm like, just a little bit of pain, you sure? And they're like, yeah, just a little bit of pain. Well, then I came out into the waiting room and Randall's like, wow, you're back already. It was fast. It was really fast. I go,
less than 20 minutes from the time you went back to.
Yeah. And the other thing too was that they
came out,
they put gauze in my mouth to stop the bleeding. And she said to me, she's like, don't worry, you'll just only need this a couple times because your mouth might bleed a little bit. I took it out when I got into the car with Randall, and there was barely any blood in it.
Yeah.
And my mouth has not bled at all.
Right.
So it's been quite amazing. Yeah. Needless to say, though, I will
good
say...
Good stitch job. Good suture job.
I will say that this the sutures hurt. It still hurts. The first day was horrible. I was crying. It was really bad. So just so you know, people tell you, oh, you know, have a, what would you call it? Fibroma.
Yeah.
Remove from your tongue a little. Yeah. Don't believe them when they say there's going to be a little bit of pain. They're going to have a lot of pain. It's going to be painful.
Or of those who are considering getting your tongue pierced.
What is wrong with you?
Exactly.
I'm like almost 55. I'm like, I'm thinking, yeah, anyway. You know, what do they say? Stupidity is wasted on the young or something.
Or youth is wasted on the young.
No offense if you're young. But anyway, so yeah, so it's been quite the experience, and I appreciate all your guys. You follow me on Facebook and stuff. You give me your prayers and appreciate it. It still hurts right now. It's still totally hurting. But Tylenol has been a big plus. Advil, not so much. Tylenol has helped. Anyway, so that's our personal update. You want to give a personal update on how you've been doing? How's your book sales going?
Not phenomenal. I don't know. I don't look at it.
It's flying off the charts, flying off the shelf.
The only thing I know about book sales is what you tell me.
Yeah. Well, you've sold a couple, you know, okay. Through our website, by the way, if you don't know.
Oh, the autographed ones. I do get notification of those.
Yeah. Yeah, Randall's
through the mobile app.
Well, you know, Randall is, he's kind of like what people would refer to as Mr. Underestimated. He is so biblical and so scholarly and just doesn't have the name recognition that a lot of other people have, which put out a lot worse content. I mean, there's a lot of crap out there that should not be published and it shouldn't be popular, but it is, which actually leads me to the topic of this podcast today, besides our personal update, and that is the revival, right?
The revival?
The Asbury revival. Yeah. I've had people ask me what I think of it, you know, but I'd like to know what you think of it, what's going on, and kind of how people should look at it. I mean, I've kind of given in writing what I think, but what do you think? I mean, if we were doing a full old Bible News Radio show, we'd be reading articles, but...
Well, I think revivals can only be properly judged in retrospect. I mean, if we were around in the time of the Great Awakenings here in the U.S. And had been party to those, there would have been a lot of kind of similar discussion to what's going on now. If we had been in Wales in the UK in the early 20th century for the Welsh Revival, the Great Welsh Revival, we probably would have, you know, similar conversation, etc. Azusa Street Revival. And then pretty much everything else, like late 20th century, 21st century, whether it be Brownsville or the Toronto Blessing or whatever.
Or the Jesus Movement Revival.
Jesus Movement Revival.
There's this movie called The Jesus Revolution that's right. In the theaters today.
Yeah.
Which, no, we have not seen yet. I hear it's good, but I don't know.
It's great. Does the Lord move? Yes, the Lord is on the move, whether it be at a college campus, in a specific church, a workplace. I can give testimonies of a drug manufacturing lab where they all came to faith in Christ. You know, God can move anywhere, in small groups, large groups. And the important thing is that people come to saving knowledge of Messiah. That's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
You know,
go ahead. I was going to say, as far as, you know, these other great revivals, you know, why is it we can still here in the 21st century talk about the first great awakening and the second great awakening? We're talking 18th, 19th century. And, you know, have back then and still talking about today. We talk about the great Welsh revival, early 20th century, and also Azusa Street revival. I mean, those things are common in...
Which I think I just did a heart tug moment on the Azusa Street revival one, because it was just, the anniversary of it was just passed.
Yeah, and those are common things still in... We don't hear anybody talking about the Brownsville revival too much, or the Toronto Blessing too much. I mean, you've got to be...
Okay, well, that's not totally true. People do talk about it, but most of the people I hear talk about it, there's two big camps. There's the people who are against it because it's part of the New Apostolic Reformation type crowd. Yeah. And then there's people who are for it, who are like, oh yeah, I was there. Who are you to say this isn't of God? Blah, blah, blah.
there's
no middle ground.
Is God moving in individual lives and people responding to the move of the Holy Spirit? Undoubtedly. Is there emotionalism attending some of these? Undoubtedly. It all comes down to the individual heart.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So some of the big controversy about the Asbury revival is there was a homosexual kid, and I'm going to call him a kid because they're kids to me, okay? They're in their 20s, who put out on Twitter that there was homosexuals, people of color. He didn't say homosexuals. They called them queer. Yeah. People of color and all that who are leading some of the worship. Do you think that that's actually possible? Do you think that if it's true that, first of all, I just have to say this guy identifies as a leftist socialist queer.
Right.
All right. Christian at Asbury, which has theological sound, as far as I can see from their statement of faith, information on sexuality. But you and me, maybe it's because we're old curmudgeons, right? Especially you, because you're super older than me. Most of you are older than us, so you're all curmudgeons too, most of you. But maybe it's me, but I would never, ever go ahead and, if I was reporting on worship at our church, I wouldn't say, oh, we had a, I'm not going to say any of that. I wouldn't say, oh, we have a, you know, I wouldn't describe people by their color or their sexual choice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so and so, you know, he watches pornography, you know, or so and so, you know, she's fat, or so and so, you know. I mean, it's like in all the training we ever went through as worship leaders, right?
Yeah.
Through the Vineyard, which was birthed out of the Jesus movement, right?
Right.
Okay, so the Vineyard
was actually a split Crowley Chapel. And
yeah, between Chuck Smith
and John Wimber.
Okay, yeah. And yet, there was fruit from both of them.
Right.
And in the Jesus movement, Lonnie Frisbee, who was, he became a Christian, and he was a very active homosexual at the time when he got saved. And I believe he repented.
Yeah.
But he eventually went back, and you can actually see interviews with Greg Laurie, which is what the Jesus Revolution movie is mostly about, Greg Laurie, which surprises me. A lot of people in this area don't know who he is.
Right.
He's like a, you know, everybody in California knows who he is. But apparently Lonnie...
Especially Southern California.
Yeah, well, apparently Lonnie Frisbee went back into the gay lifestyle, but got AIDS, but he came back to the Lord, repented. So he's in heaven, I believe. But I don't know the answer to my question.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you kind of said, well, you're more of a commodity. We wouldn't, I'm just... kind of wondering where you were going with that.
Well, Mike, we wouldn't go ahead and describe somebody as a person of color or homosexual leading worship.
Right. First of all, POC, it took me a while to figure out what that meant.
Somebody else figured it out. I think you were the one that figured it out. Yeah, I was like, what does that mean?
Because I, you know, now I'm very in tune to woke, you know. Into
I think it was Darren that told us what it meant.
Because
he's younger than
anyway. If I were a person who was marginalized anyway by the melanin content of my skin.
You have white privilege though, because you're white.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're white, full, and delightsome.
I would have a problem being conflated together with someone who's identified by their sexual preferences, you know, and I know that's been a long time thing that homosexual activists have tried to equate their struggle for equality with people of color, primarily blacks. And anyway, I would be completely, totally offended. I am offended, and I am not African American. So for this Elijah, I don't know his last name, though.
His real name is Edward.
Yeah, Edward, but he's on his Twitter account as Elijah. Anyway, you know, the fact to say people of color and queers are leading worship.
So do you like think it's a real revival, though, because of that? That's one of the big debate questions. God move through that?
Well, that's one of the things. What I'm hearing, and this is all... You know, it's not even secondhand. It's third hand. It's third party. I don't know. It's just reports that I'm hearing is that the university is trying to control it, making sure it's all student-led and only students are participating. And to me, that's... I certainly appreciate not letting anybody grandstand and...
Right.
And, oh, you know, somebody...
Like trying, Todd Bentley.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, just anonymously trying to participate, adult or whatever, and saying, no, we're trying to do this. And to me, that's like putting God in a box. So we're putting parameters on how the Holy Spirit is going to operate. Only these people can, you know, do this. Only these people can do that. Nobody else coming into the chapel but students and... And everybody else can go outside. We'll put speakers and stuff like that. And then when putting, you know, screens and speakers and stuff like that, it's starting to seem more like a concert. You know, I don't think that... I mean, because we have that technology available to us, but it certainly wasn't necessary.
Now, this is the thing that surprised me about a lot of just watching this. For me... A lot of the testimonies coming out of the Asbury Revival, or outpouring as some of them call it that, is that they're like, it was quiet, it's contemplative, we're just singing songs, there's no smoke show, there's no...
Yeah, that's great.
But you know what that tells me?
What?
It tells me that everything that the so-called seeker-sensitive movement has put out there...
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick Warren, and other people. That it was all designed to, in some ways, you know, you can see the simplicity of putting words on a screen so you don't have to open up a hymn book or whatever. Yeah. But what it really shows you is that when you're really seeking God and you're worshiping, you don't need any of that stuff.
Right.
So, you know.
I would say in many ways those things are a distraction from worship.
Well, yeah.
Not words on a screen, per se.
But some would say dad jokes between hymns is also a distraction.
I would. And all the pyrotechnics and lights and... Yeah. That's glory to us in the highest, I think.
Well...
On Mount Carmel, God provided the pyrotechnics.
Yeah, he did.
You know.
Now that was an interesting worship battle right there. Yeah. Okay, so do you think God is in this Asbury Revival thing? Or what?
I think God is... Don't put me down as a pantheist, but you know, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent.
Yes.
And so wherever... You know, wherever humble hearts are turned toward him, he is there to respond. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And so, if in the moment of a chapel service on a college campus, someone's heart is turned toward him in humility and repentance, yes, he's there. Even before they turn to you know, humble repentance, God was there. Holy Spirit is working, you know, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So, yes, God is omnipresent and working. This outpouring, can more people be responsive to the Holy Spirit in situations like this? Yes, history proves it. But calling it, for me anyway, calling it revival, I'm looking for lasting impact, social impact,
mm-hmm.
Which we see with the first and second Great Awakenings. We see with the Welsh Revival. We see to a lesser degree, but certainly a degree, with the Azusa Street Revival.
So it's interesting.
And the Jesus whole, you know, Jesus movement, the late 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s. We saw some large church congregations being born. Social changes. Well, I'm not really sure. I was just a child.
I think what came out of that, if I had to guess, and this is just my speculation because I'm no expert, but I think the Jesus movement happened, and then I think the religious right was born right after that, to put it in those vernacular. So I think
right, the moral majority.
The moral majority, yeah. So Dr. Dobson, Focus on the Family was launched shortly after that sometime. And then there was Jerry Falwell. And, you know, Phil Schlafly was with Eagle Forum doing the women's rights thing. So there was significant, I think, I don't know if these people were born again during the Jesus movement. Probably not. I don't know. But what I do know is that most of that generation now is in their 80s or they're dead.
Right.
Right. And I asked Sally Kern, and some of you might remember Sally. She was a representative in Oklahoma. I actually asked her, because her husband, Steve Kern, he's a retired pastor, and Sally is a obviously retired pastor's wife, but she served in the
Oklahoma
legislature for a while. She took it on the chops from the gay community quite a bit. Well, you know, Steve has been sharing a ton of stuff about this on his Facebook, and so I asked a question, and my question was, do you think that if these reports are true, that this is being led by homosexuals or whatever, you know, what will happen? And Sally's response to me, and this is not verbatim, but she basically said, in time, we'll see what the lasting impact will be. Hmm. And that's kind of where I fall on it. I think that for me and you, neither one of us was saved during a revival. I got saved I think God used TBN to plant seeds in my life way back before it was all corrupted. And then I read the Bible. And the Bible is what changed my life. That's why we call this show Bible News Radio, even though we haven't read any Bible today.
Not that we're Bible worshipers, but it's the primary medium, if you will,
right,
through which
you get saved.
Yeah. Hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
And when Paul was talking about the word of God, he was talking about this written scriptures.
Right. And there has to be another generation behind us. You know, I mean, we're in our mid-50s. Randall's almost 60. He's getting old. Yeah, he is. No offense if you're older than him.
You're just getting...
I'm just a child, I know. But the thing is that the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, they're hungering for truth and authenticity.
Yes.
And a change. Because frankly, I think we live in one of the worst generations ever. And I will be doing some shows on the whole transgender thing and some new legislation that's coming out. I'll be doing that later. So you can stay tuned for those. But I just want to end this show by saying, look, you know, there's lots going on. The Lord is trying to get his people's attention, I think. Whether or not how he's doing it is how it's being reported, I don't know. But what I do know is that it's been reported that this revival, so-called, has spread to over at least 20 different locations in at least, I don't know, different countries, too. It's been happening in Israel. In other countries as well, there's been revival.
So I think
the Lord is doing something. But here's the thing. The Bible says if you seek him, you will find him. Mm-hmm. If you seek for him with your whole heart, you know. And that is my heart here, you know, with Heart Tug International. Is look, I put out a daily Heart Tug moment. Because I want you to seek him daily. Some of my Heart Tug moments are, you know, fresh from what I get in the Word that morning. Some are a news article. Some are a historic thing. It's designed to tug on your heart to move closer
to the Lord, because James 4:8, there's your Bible verse, says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you do that, then all of this external stuff, you know, it's not going to bug you because you're going to have your own walk with the Lord. So I'm just going to end this by asking Bareface two questions.
Okay.
One question is, what's God been showing you in the Word lately?
Okay. What God's been showing me in the Word lately is, as vague as it sounds, the sufficiency of Christ, that God is good all the time. And I was sharing with you recently about reading for the umpteen hundredth time about Peter's denial. Mm-hmm. And the third time he cursed and swore, and looking at the Greek, it basically put a curse on himself. Basically, I'll be damned if I know this guy you're talking about. I swear I don't know this man. I didn't even mention my name. I don't know the man that you're talking about. And that's a pretty severe... Talk about backsliding.
Yeah.
And yet, he was restored to fellowship. God's grace, amazing grace, was there. Abundant grace and pardon and restoration to fellowship was possible. Not because of what Peter had done, other than his eagerness to be reconnected, but because of God's amazing grace and love. And that is available to anyone, you know, no matter where you've been, what you've done, God's amazing grace and love. And there's nothing that we can do to deserve that love. We can't earn it. We can't make God a debtor. Anyway, I could go on. Don't start me on a sermon, but...
okay. So second question is, where can people get your book? And why should they get your book? I mean, I know
you're not
a self-promoter, but, you know, seriously, I really think people would really love your book if they got it and stuff.
Well, if you want just to get a copy quickly and privately without me knowing about it, buy it from Amazon. You can find it on Amazon. Yeah, it's the only place.
The only
retail outlet. If you want to get an autograph copy, right now you have to download the HeartTug app on iOS or Android, and inside of there is a link to purchase an autograph copy.
I will tell you, he has way better penmanship than me.
Why? The whole purpose, and I stated in the book, is to get people into the Word, to create a hunger. I don't know if I used those words in the foreword, but just to get people thinking about, well, I'm not going to launch into the four sections. Get the book, or at least I think on Amazon maybe you can read the first few pages and you'll get an idea of the purpose of the book.
Right. And if you want to get my book, Pickleball Faith, Inspiration on and Off the Court, you can get it through our app or also on Amazon. I will tell you just a little praise report about that. I've been hearing from people literally all over America. It has been cracking me up how many people I've heard from. And I recently was talking to somebody in Louisiana who found our book, and I'm going to speak to their pickleball community and their church via Zoom in a couple of days. So if you're listening to this before the middle of March, then please pray for me in that. It's going to be my first time talking about my book to a church community, which cracks me up. there's nobody that is more humored by this than I am, you know? So, and I will also be doing some other shows pretty soon, like I said. So thank you all for tuning into this episode. I realize that Bible News Radio has been around for close to 20 years. And a lot of people know who we are, but there's lots of people who don't know who we are. Part of who I am, though, versus like the bigger ministries, you know, I know so many people in big ministries. You know, I mean, I know Jan Markell, I know Dr. Andy Woods, I know Jeff Kinley, I know Tom Hughes, I know J.D. Farag, I know Brandon House, I know Don Perkins, actually, I know David Reagan, I've met Gary Stearman, I know L.A. Marzulli, I know Doug Woodward. I could go on and on and on. Most of these guys I know, I've had them on our show, but, you know, people are like, well, who are you? How come you don't have a bigger platform? I just want to just throw one thing out to you about that, and that is that I don't seek for a big platform, number one, and number two, I don't have a church behind me. A lot of these guys are pastors, they have a big church behind them. Some of them, most of them, a lot of them are one-person shows, kind of like we are, you know, and they've been invited to big conferences to speak and all of that, and so they've made some money. We are a ministry, and our ministry, what makes us different, even though we've been blessed and we've been invited to, you know, Prophecy Watchers and other things to cover these things, we've done that all on our own dime. We don't get paid for it. And we became a nonprofit a couple years ago during COVID because, frankly, being in ministry has cost us way more than it ever should when you're not making a whole lot of money. And so I just share that because we do discipleship. I have a weekly Bible study. I'm mentoring some women. I've been doing that for a few years, a couple times a week. We do coaching. You know, it's not just this show. I do the app and all that. So if you like what we do, please donate. You know, we're a nonprofit. Feel free to donate to our show through the app, through our website. You can even go over to hearttug.org and get and donate through there. You know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, right? It will bless us. It will actually help us keep the app up and going. Because right now that's basically, we're trying to fund that to make sure we can keep it up and going because we were banned on YouTube. And that's the other thing. A lot of these bigger ministries, people are starting to get banned. They have a lot of money behind them that allow them to be on all these other platforms, you know, like Rumble and others, and they can advertise places because they're not banned. You know, it's not that I don't want to be on these platforms. I'm one person. And my heart really is the behind the scenes discipleship stuff that we've been doing, you know, quite a bit for quite some time. So I know I get asked this all the time. How come you're not here, here, and here? You know, all these people. Well, I'm not a pastor. Those of you who call me a pastor, stop it. I wish you wouldn't call me a pastor. Stop calling me that. But I do love people and I love helping them. And anybody who's honest and willing and able and who wants sincere help, we can help. You know, that's what we're going to do. And I will have some more announcements on that later. But you know, thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you for donating, those of you who do. And spread the word. Let other people know about what we're doing here at Bible News Radio. We haven't gone anywhere. We're just doing different things because the Lord really has redirected me to different things. Because when you're getting banned all over the place, well, it's like, well, okay, well, what can I do? You know, and so it looks like maybe the pickleball world is where I'm supposed to be spending some more time ministering. So, you know, so just keep us in prayer as far as that goes too. And what's the best way people can pray for you? Just besides living with me.
and your painful tongue.
yeah.
For me, just discipline. Not to grow weary in doing good, that knowing I shall reap in due time if I don't lose heart, if I don't faint. And yeah, that's it.
Yep. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Remember, don't forget, be bold, stand up, and go with God, people, because he loves you.